I'm not sure whether all of you have actually got to grips with the whole Superman story. It's a fascinating story. Do you mind if I quickly tell it to you? Because you don't know it, because you like so much of young, okay? So let me take you through the story. It begins in this planet far, far away, Krypton, right? And there's a dad, and there's his wife, and there's this little baby child. And they know that to save the planet, the world, they need to send their little child off. So they catapult him off into space, and he lands in the American Midwest. Great place to grow up. With Martha and Jonathan Kent, right? So he becomes adopted by them and their cute little family. It doesn't take him long to start to realize that he's a bit different. I mean, he lines up the football, he kicks it, and it goes across like three states in America. And when you can kick that far in rugby, American football, you know that you're quite special. And as he begins to explore this, he kind of struggles with who he is. Why is he different? Where's all the superpower from? But on one day, he actually hears his father, Jor-El, tell him like who he is and what his mission is and how that he needs to lead people into the light. Now, we've got original footage never seen before, ever, of how that went down. No one could have thought that the actual father was Russell Crowe, but it is. Watch.
Goodbye, my son. Our hopes and dreams travel with you.
He'll be an outcast. I'll kill him.
How? He'll be a god to them.
You're the answer, son. You're the answer to Are We Alone in the Universe?
Can I just keep pretending I'm your son?
You are my son. And I have to believe that you were sent here for a reason. And even if it takes the rest of your life, you owe it to yourself to find out what that reason is.
You will give the people of Earth an ideal to strive towards. They will race behind you. They will stumble. They will fall. But in time, they will join you in the sun. In time, you will help them accomplish wonders.
And so at our point in the story where we are in the story, he gets a job incognito at a little publishing house. You know, like the Daily News equivalent. But he's in and out of like phone booths, ripping off his clothes, right? Rushing in to do only what he can do with his super strength. Fighting bad guys, saving the girls, because you know girls need saving, they're so weak. Oh, absolutely. You don't have to live long with girls in the modern age to know they don't really need saving. You know, us guys do most of the time. But it's not long before he meets up with Lex Luthor, bit of an arch rival, nemesis. And he says, I've got the power to nurture or destroy the city. The city's mine. It's not long before in a great battle in a comic series that we learn that Doomsday has killed Superman dead. And the family come and they gather around and they are crying and weeping and it's just horrible. Superman is dead. But there's another series and Superman comes back from the dead. And no, he's not dead. He's alive, live. Goes around doing good. For the rest of his life, he can still be seen in a neighborhood near you. He's just rebranded as Neighborhood Watch Chubb Security. There's another story that actually is incredibly kind of like a parallel of that. And I want to call it like the salvation story because it's just so similar. It begins in eternity past where, as we've seen in the last weeks, God creates everything, fashions us, molds us, his like Play-Doh moment one day. He's like, ooh, that's awesome. I'm going to call those human beings. And before you know it, we've rebelled against them and really done a dirty and done our own thing and not right. And so God has this conference like, we have to go. We have to go and save them. We can't just leave it like this. We need to send someone off. And the son puts up his hand and says, I will do it. I will go. And born in a very insignificant part of the country, you know, of the world, just this little Palestine place. And there's just like cows and sheep and ducks and shepherds and a couple of wise men attest into his birth. And he grows up in a very obscure way. We don't hear much. One visit to a temple where he's amazing people at age 12, but nothing else happens for like 30 years. Just a quiet existence until the day comes when he hears his father say, this is my son, with him I am well pleased. And he begins to fulfill and live the destiny for which he's called. He goes around healing people. He goes around casting out demons of people. He raises people from the dead. Not people who have swooned and are tired and who are just, you know, exhausted. People who are dead for 3 days. Brings them back to life. But he too reaches and connects with quite an evil guy. And it actually appears that this evil guy, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, has got the upper hand because Jesus is nailed to a cross. He's done. He's dead. 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 3 days. He ain't coming back. And Satan is like besides himself with joy. He's like delirious until the third day when Jesus just gets out of that tomb, rolls the stone away, ta-da, back to save the day. Two amazing stories, don't you think? The two Jewish guys wrote that top story, and a lot of Jewish guys wrote that bottom story and recorded it in scripture for us. You know? Pretty incredible. I want to suggest that Jesus is my ultimate superhero because he came to seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. So this is all about the gift of salvation, right? And we need to kind of like figure out what it's all about. And we want to say three things today. I'm going to share two with you. Kundwani is going to help me with the third one. So firstly, you need to know that you have to get it. You don't get it when you're born. You don't buy it at the spaza shop. It's not like airtime that you can load. You have to get it somewhere. And to help you understand that, we're going to have to travel through time, way back into eternity past, one more time, okay? Where God exists forever. And we've seen what that might be, and it confused us. But God creates the world, heaven and earth. Everything you experience, God created. He even created human beings and fashioned us and breathed his breath into us, and so we lived. He was this father, like you saw with Russell Crowe, like, my beloved son, like, I love you. One day, you will look at a child that you give birth to. Girls, guys, you don't. You will be their guys. And don't drop your kid if you're the one delivering them. And I'm sorry, Ashley, that I dropped you on your head as you were born. But it was a special moment still. Anything wrong with her is my fault. But when I looked at her, after the nurse said, what you doing, man, father? I'm like, this is my daughter. It's like, nothing can break that bond. Have you seen Taken? One or two, doesn't matter. You take my daughter, I will kill you. And I know that's not nice to kill, but I will kill you. Because you are my daughter. And this relationship happens with God, and not just God the Son, but Adam and Eve and everyone born after that. It's this parental thing that could make a father go psychotic if you touch his young. It's not long before the devil tempts them to disobey God. Yes, he came, the public relations department of hell, worked a plan, got a little snake, which apparently had legs at that point. Because if you remember later, it was cursed and had to wiggle on the ground. So this good-looking devil comes and says, hi, Eve. What's up? Hungry? Ooh, look at this. It's cool. Ooh, it might look like an apple, but it really tastes like a banana. It's phenomenal. Just have a bite. And she's like, And Adam's like, Eve's like, tasty. Little serpent looking down saying, I gotcha. I got you now. They are separated from God. That's a dramatic painting of two creatures, two human beings walking away from the presence of God, banished. Exile, Friday night? What did it feel like to be exiled if you were here in your team? Not nice to be sitting down. I posted a pitiful photo from Friday night with people sitting over here. Long faces. No suckers. Just sad. Sad, sad, sad. Exile. It's never nice. Never nice to be exiled. They try to please God through religion. They try to earn their way back to God. They try to like step up. Like maybe I can get up to God. And soon they realize like, can't quite get up to God. He's just too high. That fails, and so they just decide to rebel and do bad stuff. What the hell? We're going to kick up hell on earth. We're just going to rebel. That didn't really work too well either. That kind of went like pear-shaped. But you know what? I think if I was God, I would have given up and started again in the Delta Quadrant. I would have nuked this one. I mean, if I made it all, I imploded, right? But not our God. He doesn't do that. He has a plan to rescue us. He knew about this from before the creation of the world. This was a plan that he had up his sleeve because he knew in his foreknowledge that we would rebel against him. So he sends his only son. And he is born of a virgin like we saw a couple of weeks ago in the wonder of Jesus. He lives a perfect life. He lives the life you and I were meant to live as Adam in Adam and Eve. But he dies that brutal death. But he rises again. And we are able to be saved as we repent and believe. It's Jesus who bridges the chasm. We were going up, but all we had to do was go along the bridge. We're not Superman, you know? Like, is it two hands to fly or one hand? Or, you know what I mean? It's like one up, one down. And it didn't work. All we have to do is actually just bend the knee, and we will be saved. So let me ask you this question. What do we actually need to do to be saved? I want to suggest a couple things. So simple, like ABC. You need to admit that you need saving. Because as long as you don't admit that you need saving, you think you're cool, right? Like you're swimming in the ocean, I'm okay. I'm in a bit of a rip. Oh, now I'm 5 kilometers out to shore and the sharks are swimming around me. I think I need saving. At that point, can you lift yourself out of the water and throw yourself back to land? Like, even try and lift yourself off that chair without using your legs. Try it now. Try. It's not particularly possible. Am I right? Only Luke can do it. Little Superman Luke. You need to admit that, you know what? I need saving. I am part of this thing that happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. I'm tainted by that. I can't save myself. I need a savior. Man needs a savior. There's been a lot of songs about that. Everyone needs, even R.E.M. Everyone needs a personal Jesus, you know, someone to come and save them. And then secondly, I need to believe that Jesus died for me. For me. Forget about you now. You know what I mean? That he died in my place, that it was an exchange. You know, like when you finish reading your old Superman comic, you take it to the exchange, they give it to you. There's not many of those around anymore, you know, because we don't buy, we just download off the internet. Steal. I need to believe that when I give it in, my old self, I get back a new self. I get from God what I don't deserve. I get eternal life. So I need to admit that I need saving. I need to believe that Jesus died for me. And I need to confess my sin. And this can be a stumbling block sometimes because it's like, I'm not a sinner. I haven't murdered anyone. I just occasionally fight with my sister or my brother, but it's not like big, is it? Everyone does that. The smallest thing. Someone once told me it's a sin to steal a pin. A what? Like, not 5 cents. That's not a sin. Surely 5,000, you know? Surely 5 million, blue-collar crime or what, you know? I need to confess that I am by nature a sinner, can't save myself, but I'm going to open my hands and receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And when I'm ready to do that, at the point that I'm ready without trying to fly, but as I look up to God, I can get to that point where I pray something that will connect me with God. Because that's what it is. Because I can't earn it. I tried religion. I'm in rebellion. I'm trying to jump up. I'm trying to bridge. It's about looking to Jesus. And I want to suggest that this morning, that for some of you, this might be something you need to consider. It's a one-time deal in your life. It's not something you do again and again. You can't get re-adopted. I think I've said that before. Drew will never come to us and say, can you guys adopt me again? Like, dude, we adopted. You adopted. I've got a piece of paper that says, this child is ours as if by natural birth. Incredible phrase, don't you think? You are this family's child as if you were born naturally. That's awesome. The only advantage he has is that I didn't drop him at birth. Well, I'm looking for ways to do it, to play catch up, but I haven't done that. You can only be adopted by God once. Oh, you can lose that sense of nearness and fellowship because like the prodigal son, we run away. But then we do something else about that, and we'll talk about that next. And so I want to give those of you who have never done that before an opportunity to respond like that. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if this connects with you, this is a prayer we're going to pray with our eyes open. Jesus once says, he looked towards heaven and he prayed and thanked Father. You can't look towards heaven with your eyes shut, right? Not really. Here's how it could go for you. And you could echo these words. You might want to say them under your breath, or, you know, you can own it and make it your own. You know what I mean? I'm going to own this. I'm going to sing it like I wrote it. I don't care if it's Adele, but I'm going to sing the song like it's mine. That's what you do with salvation. You sing the song like it's yours. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me, for dying on the cross to pay for all my sins and to rescue me from the evil one. I ask you to come into my life as my friend and my Savior. I surrender control of my life to you, and I receive your free gift of salvation. And then you kind of add like, and God, I mean it. Like, that's really, that connects with my heart, God. Like, you hear it, and God will whisper in your spirit, I heard it. I've done it. You're like, when? Later? Uh-uh. It's happened. The moment you confess your need of a Savior, that Jesus died for you, that you want this, it's done and it happens. And the amazing thing that the Bible says that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He's done it. The moment you do that, you can know for sure. You don't have to like, you're saved. Well, I'm working towards it. No, the moment you're working towards it, you're not on the right playing field. Then you're playing Yixke or something. You know what I mean? That's a different sport. Connecting with God is not about what you've done, but about what God's done. There's nothing you do actually except have faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, it is by faith we have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by grace we have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Get it? How many of you, was that a moment? Anyone? Was that like a moment of, you know what? That was meaningful to me. Anyone? Isn't it amazing what God has done for us, for you, and for the rest of your life? You can spend your life figuring out what it looks like, what it means. I want to talk briefly about once we've got it, what do we do with it? I want to suggest that we grow it. Because it's not like, well, that's over. Nothing more to do. I don't think she got those muscles. I don't think he got those muscles. I don't think he's got those muscles by one visit, free visit to the Virgin Active gym or whatever. I was going to suggest that to get from the left to the right takes a little bit of either photoshopping or serious workout. Am I right? That dude has put in the hours. I saw a Facebook picture of a fellow bird watcher as well, Donnie. The dude went from like nothing to like superhero. No one is always posing on Facebook without his shirt. You will never see me on Facebook without my shirt. I know it's going to come as a surprise, but I don't quite have that definition. Actually, I do, but I hide it because people stumble. This is what I read in Philippians 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's like go from the left and go to the right. It's just like a little dance. Go from the left, go to the right. This is why. Grace is free, but not cheap. When we say it's a free gift, you know when you're given a free gift, sometimes you don't look after it, right? Someone stops, says, yeah, have a bicycle. You're like, oh, cool, got a bicycle. You work for 3 years for a bicycle. You're going to, like, polish that same bicycle. Every time you go out, you're going to, like, put black stuff. You're going to spit on the spokes. And you're going to polish it and spit it. You're going to, like, make more spit. Mark, can I have a juice? Because I've got no more spit. I'm trying to clean my bicycle. You are going to treasure that thing because you worked for it, right? You paid for it. This is what that verse says. You must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. So it's not like I can ever work it out, doesn't mean work for it. You cannot work for it. The moment you start working for it, it's like, you hear that buzzer. Like, no, can do. But when you work it out, because we're not meant to be that. Or that. Because as cute as it is, it's still a baby Superman, right? We meant to be that. Wish, guys. You wish. You wish. Some people are shooting. Some haters. We are meant to incredibly transform ourselves into something really amazing. Yes, God's among us, right? Injustice. Do you want it again? And he beats Doomsday if I had to show you this whole thing. Okay, he loses the first bout and he wins the next one. Respect it, right? Respect it. Last thing I want to say about this, you need to release it. You need to let the salvation change every single part of you. Every part. From the tip of your ear to the tip of your toenails. The way you cut your toenails need to reflect that you're Christian. You know you can cut toenails into the shape of a horn or in a smiley face. You need to do the smiley face because you're a Christian. Okay, I'm kind of having fun. But every decision I make, everywhere I go, everyone I speak to, every single thing, the way I use my money, oh no, not that, everything else, because that's the biggie. Everything, you know? Whether we have too much stuff in our lives, if we need to get rid of some of it from our lives, how much stuff we have, who's having a get rid of stuff week in the Ferguson's home, but I'm not going to mention that, David. So if you want stuff, you can go to the Ferguson, because his mum is convicted. Like, how many of you feel like you got too much stuff? Yes, there's a Christian way of saying, you know what, I'm going to give away to others. That sounds like Christian living to me. Are you going to release it? Are you going to let it change everything? Even his legs need to be visited by a little bit more. Don't you think? Okay. So what do we need to do? We need to get it. We need to, like, grow it. And we need to do something else. Kondwani, come help me, like, do another part. Round of applause for Kondwani as he shares how to share it.
Amen. That was awesome, guys. How are you guys? Good, obviously. So I want to do something a bit more practical. So I've got these two chairs, and I just want to ask Micah to come up here. Don't worry, dude. You won't say much. You're just going to sit. Just be a device. So I'm talking about how to share this thing. And just sit over here. Just sit. So in our context, really, it's not necessarily always outreach, like going out and on the street and speaking to people. It's this. Hey, bro, how are you?
I thought I wasn't talking.
Okay. Yeah, he's not a very good actor. It's okay, guys. But yeah, it's starting a conversation. So that's the first thing you need to do. And how many of you guys have actually talked to somebody about what you believe? Hands. And sometimes it's like, oh, I'm a Christian. But it needs to be more than that. It needs to be an actual conversation. And really, you need to ask the right questions. So if I ask Micah, you know, what's your favorite color? And now you can answer.
Blue.
And then I said, oh, yeah, by the way, Jesus is the Lord, and, you know, I believe in God. Like, what? Whoa. I thought we were on colors. The more is like, what's your passion? You know, what's your purpose? And I actually, today, because it's my brother's birthday, and we finished very late, I was speaking to this person in the morning. I asked her, what is your passion? And then I asked her, what is your purpose? Then I asked her, what do you believe in? And it took time. And, you know, another thing we need to understand is that I spoke to her and I related to her. And then I asked the right questions to get to the final question, what do you believe? But when you're doing this, you need something else. You need to honor people. So you need to actually speak to them as they like they are people. And honoring people is really listening to them. So she spoke for like 5-6 minutes. And it was okay. And, you know, when you honor somebody and you listen to them, and they tell you what they want to tell you, it'll be easier for them to tell you what they don't want. Because that, what you believe, was a hard question. And honestly, I was a bit too quick, and she was like, I don't think we should have this conversation. Because I just jumped in, I was like, hey, what do you believe? And then Lord was like, you should have just stepped back and honored her as a person. That's the first thing you need to do. If you want to talk about what you believe, you need to start a conversation. And I just want to show you how easy it is. Like, hey, bro, how are you? And you guys really have DMCs, deep, meaningful conversations. And if you want to have a deep, meaningful conversation, you need to start the conversation. And this is a way you can do it. And it really is that easy. And I witnessed to my friend, and I prophesied over her. And I really touched her. I could see. And she was like thinking, oh, what about God? And I was there for her. And it says in the Word of God that always be ready to give an account of what you believe. Always be ready and do this with gentleness and respect. So the gentleness and the respect is honoring people. Now the next one is sharing God's story. And Pastor Mark was really awesome. He talked about this. So you know what the gospel is? Jesus, he lived the life we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. So on, he raised from the dead. But sometimes you think, why should I say this? It says in the Word of God that the gospel creates faith. And also says that the planter and the reaper are nothing, but it's God who makes the plant grow. So we are the planters of the word. And sometimes we reap the word when we leave somebody to Christ. But we don't make them come to Christ. We're just a tool. And that's what we need to understand. And that's why when we say plainly, say this thing, there's power. And I've really gone out and evangelized on Wednesdays and said, just said the gospel and people would come to Christ. I didn't say anything. I didn't preach. I just said it plainly, for God so loved the world that he gave the world his only begotten son. That's all I needed to say, and it touched people's hearts. And the final thing, second final thing is share your story. So the scripture I have for this is that the word of God is not, the gospel is not just word, but it's power. So get that. The gospel is not just word, it's just power. It's also power. So the word is the gospel, the story of Jesus, but the power is your lives. That is what changes people. And really, you know, an average testimony will change an average person. So what you have, what happened to you, that is what's going to change people. That's what's going to touch people, really. And if you tell me that you had daddy issues, that's going to touch me. But if you tell you that fire came down and burnt your leg, then you knew it was God, I'll be like, oh, that's awesome, bro, but what? Fire. You know, your average testimony is going to work for the average person. So just some things to remember, really, that the truth will set you free. And in your life, you have truth. And really, I feel this is so important. When you're talking to someone about what you believe, you know, we miss so many important stuff. And, you know, maybe I got saved, there was a sermon or something. But, you know, when there's that voice in you that says, are you sure? What happens? What goes through your mind? And for me, it's like when I pray, I feel something. I have an experience that something happened to me, and something keeps on happening to me. Every time I go to worship, I feel something. I used to drink, and now I don't have to drink. That's the truth. Like, this is what happened to me, and now I'm different because of this thing. And always adding that this is an experience that you can have. That you can have this too. And sometimes you just need to let them speak, then you speak, and that's all you need. Really, we're not called to lead people to Christ. We're called to preach the gospel. And that's a big thing, because some people, they feel really bad. Like, I didn't lead him to Christ. You have done your job. Because you're just a planter, a reaper. God makes it grow. And really, I just want to encourage you guys that it's not that hard. It might seem hard, and it's one of those things that, you know, the devil lies to you, it's so hard. When you do it, you feel so good. You've let it out. And really, speaking is learning. Speaking, you learn from yourself when you speak. And you'll be teaching people, and that's all we need to do. And the same way that he's right next to me, if I just ask the right questions, if I start a conversation, I talk about God, and I talk about myself. He can't fight that. He can't fight my experience. He can't say, no, that really happened. I'll say, yes, it did, bro. And that's all we need to do. And that's how we can change our friends and our social circles. And I know you guys want that. And I think a very important thing, and the Lord talked to me about this, another thing to remember is when we honor people and when we talk to them, we need to have a kind of an attitude that we're not better than them. This is a very important thing to remember. Because again, it was not in our works that we got into Christ. It was by grace. So when you're speaking to somebody, you can't think that you're better than them. You have to think that you have a privilege. We're lucky that people in China who get in trouble and get into jail for what they believe, we have it freely. And when you have that mindset, then it's so much easier to really say, dude, I want this for you. Not so I can feel good, but because I love you. And at the end of the day, it's all about love. If you really love your friends, if you really believe in heaven, then you also believe in hell. And that's scary, but it's the truth. And we have to preach a gospel that doesn't miss anything, that covers all bases. Your friend can't be thinking they're safe for 5 years and think, then backslide, because they're missing something. We have to tell everything, and part of it is hell. And you know, because I love my friends, I want to speak to them like, guys, this is so important to me, because I believe in this. Why? Because something happened to me. Something happened to me that changed my life, and it's because of this. And sometimes I feel like it's not real, but this happens. And then it reassures me. And what are those things? What are those things, those reasons that are keeping you here? That is the truth. Tell that to your friends. That is what changes them. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I'm going to give it back to Pastor Mark, who's going to close up. So thanks, bro.
So as we've looked at the gift of salvation, there's three things. We have to get it. We need to grow it. And we need to share it. I want to give you a chance to make a public declaration. And we're going to pray now. And I'm going to pray through each of those. I want to pray for you as well. If this is a day when maybe you got it, then I want you to stand at that point when I pray. When you hear the key word, get it. When you hear me say, grow it, then I want you to stand. If you're feeling like, you know what, that's where I'm at. I need to grow this thing that's started in me, and I need to release it. I need to respect and release it. Then maybe that's a moment for you to stand. And then maybe as you hear the keyword, share it, maybe that's a moment for you to say, you know what, I'm being challenged today by Kundwani and Micah's example up here, that we need to do this. I need to go and share it with someone. So let's do that. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, Lord, you've walked among us. And you've showed us a vision of what salvation is all about. And Lord, this is a day, maybe, Lord God, where for the first time we got it. Maybe for the first time, Lord God, as I think about whether that was me, you know what? God's grace came to me this morning on this day in May 2013. And I'm standing now to say, Lord God, I'm part of your family. I have received by grace that which I could not do for myself. I admitted that I needed a Savior on this day. I believed in Jesus and his work, and I confessed my sin. And if that was you and this is a day of get it, then I want you to stand. I'm going to pray for you now. Anyone else? This was your day. You owned this day. Won't you stand? I pray for you. Father, thank you so much for what you do when we come home to you. When we turn and say, God, we want what only you can do for us. Thank you for your salvation that came into her life this morning. Thank you, Lord God, because you are gracious and kind. Indeed, we learned that you were great and good, and you manifested yourself like that today. As we add to that, maybe it's a day for some of you where you thought, hey, grow it. That was a significant moment in this sermon for me, this message today, and I need to work it out. I need to respect it. I need to release it to every area of my life. If that's you, won't you stand with me this morning? Lord, thank you how you come and you challenge us by your Spirit. And you say, make it real. Make it your own. Thank you, Lord God, that we are going to work it out from strength to strength, and that we are going to see more of you released in every area of our life. May we indeed become more like you, Lord Jesus. And maybe this was a day where some of you said, you know, share it. That really touched me. I need to do more of that. So either just stay standing, or anyone wants to join them. It's like, hey, I need to share it more, man. I'm keeping it to myself. It's like this huge secret. My friend is dying and I'm watching my friend die. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look to start a conversation. I'm going to look to share God's story and share my story and honor people along the way. Lord, help us. Help us to be authentic. Help us not to go from how was your day to you're going to die and are you ready for eternity. Help us to be wise. Help us to find ways and transitions, Lord, to share our lives, to invite people into Ignite where they can hear the gospel, to have the courage even to share the gospel as we've done this morning. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we are going to look for ways to honor you. You've seen us standing before you this morning. Won't you be seated in God's presence? Thank you, Lord, for an incredible morning, for what you have done in our midst. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.